We see the solution to death. This Jesus who died is the one who died, as the scriptures say, for all people. This Jesus who died for our sins and guilt, is alive again. And that means that we will live. That means that we will vacate our graves with our Lord, and we will be with our Lord forever. This is amazing. This is the solution. This is the cure for death. But maybe when someone hears this message, that Jesus has conquered death, that he is the Lord of life and death, maybe they might begin to wonder, is that for me? Have I loved my Lord enough that he's going to bring me out of my grave? Does that promise stand for me that I will rise and live? Does he love me? Is this good news for me? It is for everyone. He removes every fear.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country. April 1st, 2018. This message is based on Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8.
The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. You know, memorials are often designed to help us to cope with death. It's pretty interesting if you've seen the memorial that was designed for the Twin Towers memorial. The architect, Michael Arra, didn't exactly follow the stipulations for the memorial, which was that it was supposed to overhang and go over the footprint of the towers. But instead, what he did was he made it into a void. That is, 30-foot drop in the street where the tower foundations once stood, and with waterfalls cascading down to a pool at the bottom. Really quite a commemoration for the loss and the feeling of loss and hurt that took place when all those lives were taken. Quite effective, really. The women were headed to the tomb to deal with Jesus' death. Only Jesus gives them a far better solution than anything they could have come up with. It's not a memorial. It's far better than that. Jesus lives to silence all our fears. We'll see that this morning as we look at God's word in Mark chapter 16. See, the women were headed to the tomb. It was Friday that Jesus had hung on the cross, and there he called out after 6 hours of hanging on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," gave up his life and died. And Joseph of Arimathea boldly came before Pilate and asked for permission to bury Jesus' body. And so before the ending of the day, in a hurry, Joseph, along with a man named Nicodemus, took the body of Jesus and he placed it in his own freshly hewn tomb, fulfilling actually what the scripture foretold. Jesus would be killed. Jesus would be assigned a grave with the rich in his death. The woman who followed Jesus and supported him saw this, and they went along with this, and they noticed where Jesus was laid and probably noted the hasty burial. They bought spices to prepare for the continuation. But they ran out of time. The Sabbath came, when devout Jews simply stop work, including caring for the dead. So they rested on Saturday. And that brings us to where we are in Mark chapter 16, at the start of the chapter. There we see the women are now, early in the morning, making their way to the tomb. Only it seems they've forgotten something. Kind of happens sometimes when you're grieving, right? When you overlook some of the details in your preparation. They had the spices, they knew where Jesus was, but as they're drawing near, they recall, who's going to remove that stone? Which Mark notes is quite large and took at least 2 men to put into place. You kind of have to wonder at this point, where were the men? Where were the disciples in all this, that they were not even able to have enough courage to come with the woman to help them finish the burial of Jesus? At any rate, they must have felt frustrated. But more than frustrated, I'm sure they felt helpless. Because they knew putting those spices and those perfumes on the body wouldn't fix what they wanted to fix. They understood that when someone dies, you can try to cover it up. You can try to go through all the burial procedures. You can make the grandest memorial. But it doesn't help with the pain, the reek of death, and the fears that come in knowing and seeing death. They were, in the face of death, helpless, frustrated. See, there's another thing they had overlooked, right? Jesus, whenever Jesus encountered, as far as we see him in his ministry, encountered death, he ruins the funeral. They saw that. They followed Jesus when he went on his ways. They were with that crowd, I'm sure, when that city was there of Nain with the crowd coming out and that dead young boy, the son of the only widow. And Jesus interrupts the funeral, touches the coffin and says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And they see him with the power over death. And I'm sure that they were aware of what happened in that inner room when the crowds outside were laughing and Jairus and his family were weeping. But there's Jesus. And he says to her, "Young girl, I say to you, get up." The girl comes alive and changes their weeping into joy. They knew this. And I'm sure they knew just recently, not too long ago, how Jesus was told that Lazarus had died. Now Lazarus' sister came up to him and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But Jesus didn't want to heal Lazarus from an illness. He waited, and he waited, because he wanted to heal Lazarus from death and the grave. And they knew, and they heard, as they saw Jesus call out to the dead man, who had been dead now 4 days, "Lazarus, come out!" And they saw the dead man walk alive again. They knew. Didn't they? They knew Jesus had the power over death. And more than that, they knew Jesus said to them that he would rise, that he would be killed and he would rise again. So what are they doing here? Had they forgotten? Jesus ruins funerals. That's just what he did here. As they get to the tomb, God had already sent an angel to reveal the opening and roll that stone away for them so they could see this as they come in and look. And there that angel gives them the message. "I know who you're looking for. He's not here. The Nazarene, Jesus. The one who was crucified. He's risen. And go and tell his disciples. They're going to see him again. He's going to meet them. He's going to go ahead in Galilee. And there they will see him just as he told you." Now for the woman, they now had the solution to death, right? We see the solution to death. This Jesus who died is the one who died, as the scriptures say, for all people. This Jesus who died for our sins and guilt, is alive again. And that means that we will live. That means that our graves will not be one that we stay in, but we will vacate our graves with our Lord, and we will be with our Lord forever. This is amazing. This is the solution. This is the cure for death. But maybe when someone hears this message, that Jesus has conquered death, that he is the Lord of life and death, maybe they might begin to wonder, is that for me? Have I loved my Lord enough that he's going to bring me out of my grave? Does that promise stand for me that I will rise and live? Does he love me? After all, those women, they were dedicated, right? They supported Jesus when he was alive. Now they were the ones that were bold enough to go and finish the burial. They loved Jesus. They were dedicated to him. Only, what were they doing? Did they listen to Jesus? Imagine how they felt when they realized they were preparing for his burial in doubt. Did they love Jesus? Did they believe him if they were really going to prepare him to stay in the tomb when he had said he would rise? What were the women thinking? You can imagine they might have been wondering as they're standing there foolishly carrying these burial spices and the message that he's alive, thinking, what's Jesus going to think? We didn't trust him. We were prepared to bury him. Have you ever wondered if God loves you because you've loved him enough? Because you've trusted his word. I'm sure the woman wondered that. The message was for them. Oh, but what about the disciples, right? They had fled. All of them had deserted Jesus. They abandoned him. And they left him to die. And even Peter, who was bold enough just to come and see what might happen, Peter denied Jesus right in front of him, and Jesus looked right at him as Jesus saw Peter saying, "I don't know the man." Do you think Peter might have wondered, Is the good news of Jesus' life, is that for me? After all, when the angel says, go and tell his disciples, it seems like he has to even add Peter, as if Peter wasn't even able to consider himself rightfully a disciple of Jesus. Have you ever wondered if you follow Jesus faithfully enough that the good news of the resurrection might be for you? Have you ever wondered if maybe when you didn't follow him, or you maybe in some way denied him in your life, that somehow the message isn't for you anymore? Jesus lives to silence all your fears, the fears of death, and even the fears that you have loved him enough, because it doesn't depend on that. For those women, the message was given. Those who didn't trust, he would rise. For the disciples who weren't refraining from the tomb because they thought he would rise, but because they were afraid, for them, the message was given. Even for Peter, who denied his Lord, the message was there. Go and tell Peter. He will see him. He will see Jesus. He's alive. For whatever reason we might begin to doubt or wonder, is this good news for me? It is for everyone. Jesus is alive. You will not stay in your graves, but you will be brought to life with him. And guess what? Jesus has an appointment to keep. Just as he said he would see his disciples again, he has told you that he will see you in the flesh. You have conquered the grave through Christ and through trust in him. And he does send you that message. He is alive, and you will see him again. He removes every fear. And so we see the woman, as they're leaving the tomb, isn't that interesting? It says they're frightened. It even says they're shaking and they're trembling and amazed. And after all, it's a pretty awesome thing they've been given, who don't deserve it. But now they are the first ones to share this news to the world. They are the ones who are to go and tell the disciples Jesus is alive. And note too, they don't have anything more than what we have. The word of God. The promise of God, the witness that he is alive. And the disciples didn't have anything more at first than you and I now have. The message from the woman that Jesus is alive, the word of God, the promise of God. It's that same powerful word that he is alive that has been sent into this world and that God now gives to you to carry out to the world. As the woman fled from the tomb to proclaim life, you are called to flee from the scene of death and proclaim life in the name of Jesus. He has removed every fear. And the memorial that is left for Jesus is different from any memorial. It's empty. It's vacant. Because he's not there. And you and I and all who trust in him, even those who have not followed him as they ought, even those who have denied him, even those who haven't trusted as they ought, he gives that message to you and to all this world. You will see him again. He is alive and he has an appointment to keep. Amen. Blessed is the one who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, and blessed are those who take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near. Amen.